Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Dark Tide, The Great Boston Molasses Flood of 1909 by Stephen Pelayo, revisits a largely forgotten urban catastrophe that unfolded in Boston's North End when a massive storage tank burst and sent a fast-moving wave of molasses through crowded streets. The book places the disaster in its full human and civic context, following victims and first responders, while also tracing how the calamity exposed gaps in engineering practice, corporate accountability, and public oversight. Pelayo connects the flood to the tense atmosphere of the era, marked by rapid industrial expansion, labor conflict, immigration anxieties, and the wider Red Scare. Beyond the dramatic event itself, the narrative examines how investigators, journalists, lawyers, and ordinary residents struggled to make sense of what happened and why. The result is both a gripping piece of narrative history and a case study in how cities learn, often painfully, to demand safer standards from powerful private interests. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a city and a neighborhood at a boiling point. The book frames the molasses flood within the social world of early 20th century Boston, especially the densely populated North End. This was a neighborhood shaped by immigration, close-knit family networks, waterfront labor, and constant friction between working people and the institutions that governed them. Pelayo highlights how daily life unfolded in tight streets lined with tenements, small businesses, and industrial infrastructure that sat uncomfortably close to homes and schools. That proximity mattered because the tank was not an abstract industrial asset on the edge of town, but a looming presence embedded in a living community. The author also situates the event in a broader national mood of strain, with anxieties about radicals, unions, and outsiders coloring how officials and newspapers interpreted public disorder. By emphasizing that atmosphere, the story becomes more than a freak accident. It becomes a portrait of an era when civic trust was fragile and when working-class neighborhoods often bore the risks of industrial progress without sharing equally in its rewards. Understanding this context clarifies why the flood produced not only grief but also anger, suspicion, and a demand for answers that would not easily fade. Secondly, industrial ambition, engineering shortcuts, and a preventable failure, a central thread in the narrative is how the storage tank came to be built and maintained, and what that reveals about safety culture at the time. Pelayo explores the push to store and distribute vast quantities of molasses, a valuable industrial commodity used in food production and in making alcohol, including industrial alcohol. The tank represented scale and efficiency, but the book stresses that large structures require careful design, proper materials, competent inspection, and respect for warning signs. The flood becomes a lesson in what happens when speed, cost-cutting, and complacency override cautious engineering. Rather than treating the burst as an unavoidable mystery, the narrative examines reported leaks, community concerns, and a basic question of whether the tank had been adequately tested and overseen. The author uses the disaster to illuminate a period before modern building codes and professional standards were consistently enforced, when companies could wield significant influence over urban development. The tank's failure thus reads as an emblem of systemic risk, showing how disasters often arise from a chain of ordinary decisions, each one small enough to be rationalized, until the accumulated consequences become catastrophic for everyone nearby. Thirdly, the flood itself and the human experience of sudden catastrophe. Pelayo recounts the moment the tank failed and the immediate chaos that followed, emphasizing the lived reality of a disaster that moved quickly and struck people where they worked, played, and walked. The flood is memorable because the material was strange, thick, and heavy, creating hazards different from those of water. It could knock down structures, sweep people and animals away, and then trap them as it cooled and became more viscous. The book portrays the sensory and practical challenges responders faced, from navigating debris-choked streets to attempting rescues in conditions that frustrated movement and visibility. This section also highlights how communities react in the first hours of crisis, when instincts, improvisation, and neighborly action fill gaps before coordination arrives. Pelayo draws attention to the range of people affected, including residents, laborers, and public servants, underlining that industrial disasters do not select victims by preparedness or virtue. The narrative also shows how rumors and partial information spread rapidly, shaping fear and decision-making. By focusing on individual stories alongside the broader scene, the book makes the catastrophe comprehensible, not just as an engineering event, but as an intensely human ordeal with lasting emotional and physical consequences. Fourthly, investigation, courtroom battle, and the rise of corporate accountability, the aftermath becomes a prolonged struggle over explanation and responsibility, and Pelayo treats this as one of the most consequential parts of the story. The flood led to inquiries and legal proceedings that forced technical questions into public view, including how the tank was designed, what inspections occurred, and whether warnings were ignored. The book emphasizes how difficult it can be for ordinary citizens to challenge powerful companies, especially when expert testimony, political influence, and public relations all shape what the public believes. Puglio explains how the case unfolded through competing narratives, one leaning on claims of unforeseeable accident and another arguing that negligence and poor construction were central. In detailing this contest, the story illustrates the evolution of modern ideas about duty of care, evidence, and liability. It also shows how disasters become turning points when legal systems are compelled to translate tragedy into standards and consequences. The courtroom becomes a forum where engineering meets ethics and where communities seek more than compensation, seeking acknowledgement that a wrong occurred. This topic resonates beyond Boston because it reflects a recurring pattern in industrial history. Hard-won accountability often follows, rather than prevents, catastrophe. Lastly, Legacy for Urban Safety, Regulation, and Public Memory, Dark Tide explores how the molasses flood echoed long after the streets were cleaned, shaping attitudes toward regulation, construction oversight, and the responsibilities of private industry in public spaces. Puglio describes how the disaster contributed to changes in how structures were reviewed and how engineers and officials approached safety, helping to normalize stricter standards that later generations take for granted. The book also considers the way collective memory works, especially when an event is both sensational and oddly easy to dismiss as an oddity. The flood can be reduced to a bizarre headline, yet the author argues it deserves recognition as a serious urban tragedy with important lessons. This tension between spectacle and significance becomes part of the legacy, what society chooses to remember and what it allows to fade. Puglio also links the event to the wider historical currents of the time, suggesting that the flood cannot be separated from labor politics, wartime economic shifts, and civic distrust. By the end, the molasses flood stands as a cautionary tale about infrastructure embedded in neighborhoods, about risk being unevenly distributed, and about the importance of transparent oversight. Its legacy is not only historical curiosity, but a continuing reminder that preventable failures often look inevitable only after they happen. In conclusion, this book fits readers who enjoy narrative history with real stakes, especially those drawn to urban disasters, progressive-era politics, and the origins of modern safety regulation. It also suits students and professionals in engineering, law, public policy, and journalism who want a vivid example of how technical failure becomes a social and legal turning point. The benefits are practical as well as historical. Dark Tide helps readers recognize the warning signs of institutional complacency, understand why communities demand accountability, and see how regulations often arise from hard lessons rather than abstract theory. It invites reflection on where risk is placed in a city and who is asked to live with it. Compared with many disaster histories that focus mainly on spectacle, Puglio's approach stands out for connecting the event to the lived world around it and for following the consequences into investigations and court proceedings. That wider arc makes the book more satisfying and more useful, since it shows not only what happened, but how a society responds when trust breaks. It is worth buying because it turns a notorious incident into a coherent case study in responsibility, resilience, and the ongoing necessity of public oversight. If you would like to support Stephen Puglio, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.